Breakfast in the Blue Ridge with Lula Bell and Scotty. Good friends, join us now for another cheery breakfast with Lula Bell and Scotty, those favorite sweethearts of the airways, in their silent home among the laurels, in the heart of the scenic wonderland, the Blue Ridge.
To a cozy nest that I love the best, it's my Blue Ridge mountain home.
We'll look in on Lou and Scotty right after we hear an important message from a good friend of yours. To the east, a long, trailing plume of white smoke drifts across an otherwise cloudless sky as the train from Spruce Pine begins its morning run. And as though given the pitch by the sound of its whistle, Lula Bell and Scotty start a song about another railroad.
Out from the blue Pacific to the broad Atlantic shore, she climbs the cloudy mountain where the tumbling waters pour. She's mighty tall and handsome, and known to one and all, the regular combination called the Wabash Cannonball. Oh, listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar, as she glides along the woodland or the hills and by the shore. From the lakes of Minnesota to the great Niagara Falls, no chances to be taken on the Wabash Cannonball. Oh, here's to Daddy Clarkson, let him go forever free, and long he'll be remembered in the courts of Tennessee. He's been a good old rounder, when the curtains round him fall, they'll carry him back to Dixie on the Wabash Cannonball. She glides along the woodland or the hills and by the shore. From the lakes of Minnesota to the great Niagara Falls, no chances to be taken on the Wabash Cannonball.
Honey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to write a song about a railroad stamp sometime, why don't you?
Oh, I reckon I'm about the only person who hasn't done that. There must be a song about pretty near every railroad in the country by now.
I know what. You could write one about the Tweetsie. Of course, it would have to be a short song on account of it's such a short railroad.
It has to be sung kind of high, too, on account of that railroad's way up in the mountains.
Oh, you're crazy.
Hey, sounds like folks are having a mighty good time at this house.
Well,
oh,
Jack,
good morning.
Come on in and join us, son.
Are you pierced this
morning? I sure am, Lola. Well, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm just fine and dandy. I was just telling Scotty he ought to write a song about a railroad.
Oh, you mean like Casey Jones or the Wabash Cannonball, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how come she thought of it, I guess. We were just singing about the famous Wabash train.
I expect one reason so many songs were written about the railroads, there's so much excitement connected with them in the early days, huh?
Guess you're right there. The great iron horse rode on ribbons of steel that tied our country together. And the men who built them and ran them were heroes, so naturally songs were written about them.
You know, my favorite has always been Casey Jones.
Casey Jones?
Yeah, I saw somewhere some time ago in the paper the other day, I was reading it, where the railroad folks recognized what a feller he really was, too, and they dedicated a plaque to his memory.
That's right, I remember that. I always did like that song, even before I knew there was a real Casey Jones. I remember Billy Murray singing it on our old phone.
Oh, Billy.
Oh, yeah, he did a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, why don't you sing it? You know it, don't you?
Well, I can't do it like Billy Murray did in the old days. But I'll try it mountain style.
That's good enough
though.
For me.
Oh, come on, you rounders, if you want to hear the story of a brave engineer. Casey Jones was a rounder's name. On a 6-8 wheeler, he won his fame. The caller called Casey about a 4:30. He kissed his wife at the station door. He mounted to the cabin with his orders in his hand. Took a farewell trip to the promised land. Casey Jones, he mounted to the cabin. Casey Jones with his orders in his hand. Casey Jones. He mounted to the cabin, took a farewell trip to the promised land. He looked at his watch and his watch was slow. He looked at his water and the water was low. He turned to the fireman and he said, "We may reach Frisco, but we'll all be dead. I'm a going to run her till she leaves the rail, 'cause I'm 8 hours late with the western mail. So open up your throttle and shovel in your coal. Put your head out the window, watch the drivers roll." Now Casey pulled up at Reno Hill. He tooted for the crossing with an awful thrill. The brakeman knew by the engine's moan that the man at the throttle was Casey Jones. He pulled up within 2 miles of the place when old number four stared him right in the face. He turned to the fireman and said, "Boy, you better jump. Two locomotives are going to bump. And when they bump, they'll ball the rail. There'll be nobody left for to tell the tale. Casey Jones, two locomotives, Casey Jones, are going to bump. Casey Jones, the two locomotives, yes, two locomotives are going to bump." Now Casey said just before he died, "There's two more roads that I'd like to ride." The fireman said, "What can they be?"
He said, "The Atherton, Topeka, and the Santa Fe."
All right, say that's real high.
Got on the wrong train.
Well, that's all right. We get the same place.
Say, speaking of railroad, Jack, have you ever ridden the Tweetsie?
The Tweetsie? No, I haven't. But now, where have I heard of the Tweetsie?
Why, it's right down here in the Blue Ridge Country. It's the highest railroad in the eastern part of America. And it runs from Johnson City to Cranberry.
Oh, sure. Now I remember.
Yeah, it used to run all the way to my hometown of Boone, but they had a cave-in a few years ago and never did get a
washout, yeah.
A washout? That was, well, same difference.
Not long before that, they'd almost decided to do away with the road entirely. They said that trucks could carry the mail more efficiently.
Yeah, but the folks along the line got real indignant and they wouldn't let it be replaced.
Well, how come?
Well, after all, it's about the only transportation there is into some parts of that mountain country.
And not only that, but the Tweetsie is a different kind of a railroad.
Sure, you know, it pokes along over the mountains. It used to take 4 hours to go about 66 miles. But the folks on it are so doggone friendly.
And they don't talk the way they do on the big railroads. A little old Tweetsie, instead of bellowing, "Boy!" Bill Siss, the conductor, will say, "Well, I reckon it's time we got started." They go. That's all there is to it.
Bill Sharp, our famous rider down here, calls the Tweetsie the Iron Angel of Mercy. It's often stopped at a lonely mountain cabin where someone lay dangerously ill and carried the patient around the rim of Grandfather Mountain to the hospital. Saved many a person who had no other way of getting to a doctor.
Well, I expect there'll always be a Tweetsie, just as there'll always be a Grandfather Mountain. As the engineer always says, so friendly-like when you get off, "Y'all come back and ride with us some more."
Life is like a mountain railway. We hope ours can always be as helpful as the Tweetsie. After this announcement, Luna Bell and Scotty sing that favorite gospel song of the hill country, "Life's Railway to Heaven."
Across the trestle,
spanning Jordan's swelling tide. You behold the Union Depot, into which your train will glide. There you'll meet the superintendent, God the Father, God the Son. With a hearty, joyous flooding, weary pilgrim, welcome home.
Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in thy praise.
That's one we all want to ride.
That's right, Jack. Are you coming, Lily?
Yeah, I'm afraid we'll have to go now. See you right soon, folks. When it's
morning in the Blue Ridge, here beside the lonesome pines. Yes, it's morning in the Blue Ridge, and deep within this heart of mine.
Be sure to join those favorite sweethearts of the airways, Lulabelle and Scotty with the Blue Ridge Riders and the old dropper inner.
Jack Stilwell.
That's right. Next time for Breakfast in the Blue Ridge.